Hey everyone, this is a bonus episode of the Prepper Website Podcast. This is an audio version of Prepper Website Live. I hope you enjoy it. Preppers are crazy, right? Well, I'm going to share with you 13 facts about preppers that you want to know. Listen, there's a lot of information out there about preppers, and for people that are looking at preppers and looking at the preparedness community, a lot of the time they make fun of who we are or what we're about, and they think they have these ideas of who we are and what we're doing, right? So a couple of years back, I wrote an article about 13 facts that you should know about preppers to kind of help people understand out there. So if you're watching this and you're a prepper, I hope you can agree with me and you can identify with me. But if you are watching this and you are not a prepper, or you don't consider yourself someone who needs to prep, then maybe after you hear this, you will realize that preparedness is just a lot of common sense. So I'm going to be bouncing off of this article that I wrote. Again, like I said, it's called 13 Facts That You Need to Know About Preppers. And so I'm going to go ahead and go over to my browser and we can go ahead and start. What is a prepper? A prepper is simply someone who prepares. Life throws curves at times. Preppers do what they can to mitigate potential situations that they can see, like hurricanes, wildfires, floods, blizzards, unseen disasters like tornadoes, terrorism, economic turmoil, and even job loss. Preppers would rather prepare their families for a disaster than depend on the government or other sources for help. Listen, that's one of the things that I talk about on a regular basis, and it's one of the things that's just kind of like burned into my mind. So here's the thing. If you have that good relationship with a parent and you call them to ask for advice, you know, and you do that on a regular basis, you're doing that because they have knowledge and that you trust them. So my kids do that to me. They'll call me up just out of nowhere and they'll ask me questions about whatever it might be. I still do that to my own father, although I'm a grown man and I've, you know, got my own house, got my own family. My own kids are doing that. I do that to my father as well. But I would never want to be in a situation where my kids turn to me and say, hey, there's this big problem going on and this big situation is happening, and I'm not able to have any recourse to help them. I'm not able to point them in the right direction. I wouldn't want to be able to say, hey, that was an issue. I knew that might be an issue and I didn't prepare for it. So that's one of those things that I always have in my mind. You know, I wouldn't want my kids coming to me wanting coming to me for advice, coming to me for help, and not being able to be there. And so that's one big reason why I prep. And hopefully if you are a parent or you are taking care of people, that's one reason why you're prepping as well. So prepper, the word prepper, is a modern term. In reality, it's just common sense. The term describes what individuals and families did before there was mass transportation of food and access to 24/7 stores. For example, if your grandfather didn't put back seeds, or maybe it was your great-grandfather, didn't put back seeds from the current crop of food, there wasn't seeds to plant the next growing season. If your grandmother didn't can the excess produce from the spring harvest, there wasn't fresh fruit and vegetables during winter. They prepared for the next season. And I think a lot of the times when we look at where we are in society, we can go to Home Depot and get little seedlings. We can go to 24/7 Walmart or grocery stores, and we can go get whatever we need, you know, if there's not an emergency going on, right? And so there's no reason to prepare in people's minds. It's like, I can go get whatever I need, or I can order it on Amazon and it's here the very next day. Well, we got a little taste of that during COVID. And if you ever have been through a hurricane, or a blizzard, or you've been through a situation like that, you've received a taste of that as well. You can't just count on what is there in the stores. There's always something around the corner. There's always something that can happen. And most people say there's about 3 days worth of food in the system at any given time. As long as the trucks are rolling, as long as the grocery stores are getting their deliveries, as long as Amazon is able to ship, everything is great. But we prepare for those times when things are not. And that's the thing to remember. All right, moving forward. What about doomsday preppers? Okay, this is one of those things that gets on my nerves. So the term Doomsday Preppers was popularized by the National Geographic show Doomsday Preppers. Some episodes did feature well-known preparedness figures like Lisa Bedford, David Cobbler, Scott Hunt, and Christopher Nierges, but the show sensationalized preparedness and made the featured prepper look crazy. Listen, I've heard from some of these preppers, and they have talked about how the producers wanted them to sensationalize what they were doing, and they wanted it sensationalized so that they could have their little, you know, their little spots, you know, in their commercials, and so they could get people watching, and they can talk about all these crazy preppers. And now it did launch some careers. It did get some people that were out there in the preparedness community more popular in mainstream. But it did damage as well to us out there in the mainstream, because they looked at preppers as crazy people, because they looked at these shows and they said, okay, these people are crazy. They didn't really take into consideration that the producers were going to be doing all these crazy things. So in the preparedness community, the term is viewed negatively. Although the show did bring attention to the need to prepare, the term continues to be used by people outside the preparedness community to disparage or sometimes bring attention to a certain segment of quote-unquote crazy people wanting to experience the end of the world. So there is a link here to a show or to an article that I wrote if you want to go check that out. You know, one of the things we heard about after when COVID hit and all that kind of stuff started going down, there was articles that were coming out. Maybe preppers weren't as crazy after all. And it was a little satisfying to see those kind of headlines. The thing is that we don't care either way. We want people to be prepared. And so if people laugh a little bit, but they still see the seriousness of how important preparedness is, or they go through a situation like the stores being out of, you know, the important things that they needed during COVID, then hopefully that snaps them out of their negative view of preparedness and being a little bit more self-reliant and start to prepare. And so hopefully that takes. Unfortunately, I think people freak out enough to get what they need and they get past the situation and then they go back to where they were. All right, so we'll go back where we were and we'll continue on with this. So what are preppers preparing for? Preppers prepare for a wide variety of scenarios. These scenarios can range from local to global situations. Each prepper chooses for himself or herself why they prepare, and every prepper usually has a different reason why they started to prepare. So some common reasons, look at all these, right? I have 13 reasons here, and every single one of them but one is something that is going on right now or has gone on recently and affected a population. So job loss, personal health concerns, wildfires, flooding, tornadoes, hurricanes, blizzards, economic crash, terrorism, war, volcano eruptions, societal disruptions or riots, and EMP. All right, so listen, all of these things that we just looked at right here have affected society at some point, maybe not in the United States, but like volcanoes. There are volcanoes where there have been cities that have had to evacuate because volcanoes have started to erupt. But all these other things that we talked about, we're experiencing job loss and personal health concerns and maybe not an economic crash as far as like everything is crashed, but people are feeling the economic instability and where we are with the whole COVID thing all the things that are going on. The one thing here that we haven't really experienced is an EMP. EMP or slash CME, coronal mass ejection. That's one of the things that preppers do prepare for. Many preppers do prepare for, but that's not something that we have really ever experienced. But all these other ones are like real life experiences that you could be going through right now as you're listening to this. So there's a lot of good reasons to prepare. All right, moving on. How do preppers prepare? And this is good stuff here. You create a needs assessment. What type of scenario are you prepping for? So down here in the south where I'm at, I'm not going to be prepping for a blizzard, but I'm going to be prepping for a hurricane. Number two is develop a plan around your needs assessment. So get detailed. Figure out what you truly need. Number three, learn and gather information about what is needed to survive in that scenario that you identify. If you've never been in a hurricane or you've never been in a blizzard and you're going to be in that situation, well, then you should do a little bit of research. Or if you have been in that situation, you already know, and maybe you weren't as prepared as you should have been the first time around. I know that that happened to us the first time around when we experienced a hurricane, and this was pre-Prepper website and pre-Prepper website podcast and all that kind of stuff. And I think it was Hurricane Rita. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Hurricane Rita because Hurricane Katrina had just happened. So Hurricane Rita comes on the scene and our school district let us out a little bit early so that we could go and prepare. And by the time we got to the stores, everything was gone. And so that really opened up our eyes. So next time around, my wife, when the hurricane was turning in the Gulf, before everybody else hit the stores, she was hitting the stores and getting everything that we needed. So she didn't want to be without again. So that's really important. So identify areas where knowledge and skills are lacking. Get training and build skills. Number six, purchase items and equipment that are needed. Now, this is one of those things, you know, preppers love their gear and they go buy gear. Sometimes they buy gear, throw it up in a closet and wait for the apocalypse and bring it down. Really, you need to be smart about where you're spending your money and the gear that you're getting. And really, you want to use your gear and be familiar with it. Number seven, revisit and adjust your plans as needed, especially after a situation. So if you've gone through a hurricane, look back at your plans and was there anything that needs to be changed or rearranged and fixed up so that next time you can be better at, you know, dealing with that emergency. And number eight, stay aware of potential dangers. So what are some common myths about preppers? Now, people who don't know any preppers or just go by what the media says believe some crazy things about preppers. However, many of these things are not true of most preppers. Many preppers are regular, everyday people who have seen or experienced situations that cause them to be more responsible for their lives as well as the lives of their loved ones. All right, so that's really important here. Really important to understand that most preppers are regular people who understand that emergencies can happen and want to be prepared for them. So let's look at some of these myths here that, I've heard a lot of these throughout the years. Number one, every prepper has a survival bunker. No, some preppers might have a survival bunker, but most bunkers are expensive and out of the reach of most preppers. Listen, the people who have bunkers are like the filthy rich, you know. Most preppers are not that. The people that have tons of money and they can buy up big plots of land and put a bunker in. Anyway, I can guarantee you most preppers do not have survival bunkers. Number two. Every prepper wants the end of the world. No, preppers understand that the end of the world as we know it, or Teotihuacan, would be very bad and a hard life. Many people would die because modern people don't have the skills or knowledge of our ancestors. Listen, there are probably some people out there. There's always craziness. There's always fringe in everything, right? You think about sports. There's people who just like to play sports for the love of sports. And then there's people that don't like sports at all. And then there's crazy people that live, breathe, eat everything sports, right? And same thing in preparedness. There are people out there that they've stocked up their home. They're ready for the end of the world. They're ready to, they think it's going to be a big old camping trip. And most people who have really thought this through, have really researched, have really prepared, realize that if that was the case, if we get to the end of the world as we know it, that is going to be very, very bad. So most preppers do not want that at all. You know, I like my life. I like how things are going. I like, you know, air conditioning, and I like sleeping in a bed, and I like, you know, all the conveniences of life. I don't necessarily want that. So just understand that most preppers do not want that. That doesn't mean you're not going to find a couple of crazy people out there. Number three, every prepper has a year's supply of food. No, although it would be wise to have a year's supply of food, many preppers only have 1 to 3 months of food storage. And I got to tell you, most preppers have 1 to 3 months, and that's going to be, the 3 months is going to be on the very low end. there's very, very few people who have a year's worth of food. There are some, I'm not going to say, but the percentages are very small. Most people would, you know, that I have ever talked to, that I have outright asked this question, it's like, Todd, I have about a month to 2 months worth of food. And so you should increase that. It's just smart. I think in the time that we're in right now, I think everybody realizes that. But for the most part, most preppers only have 1 to 3 months. And I would say most people that are in preparedness have 1 to 2 months of food. All right, number four, every prepper owns a closet full of guns. No, preppers believe that self-defense is an important aspect of preparedness, but owning multiple firearms and not being prepared with basics like food, water, and medical supplies would not be smart. Listen, it's smart to be have something to be able to defend yourself with, but we do not have closets full of guns. I can guarantee you there are some people, just like I've talked about, there are people out there there are preppers. Just like, again, I go back to my sports analogy here. There are some people out there that have closets and closets full of guns, but most preppers do not have that at all. Number five, every prepper is going to bug out when the SHTF. No, bugging out is only appropriate if you have a bug out location and that is fully stocked, or your current location is compromised in some way, like a fire or a flood. Most preppers plan on bugging in. Many preppers cannot afford to fully stock their homes and a bug out location. So let me spend just a few moments here. That's one of the things I know that in my work with Prepper website, I know that the articles that I post that have bug out, that deal with bug out in one way or another, those are the most popular articles. People want to know about bugging out. But in reality, I think a lot of people are realizing that bugging out is not the way to go. Now, there are some times that you bug out, and I've talked about that on the podcast, and I've talked about that on different videos, but most preppers are going to bug in. In other words, they're not going to leave their home. Your home has everything you need there. You know, there are some times where you need to bug out. And if you bug out, like you talk to the people in California who went through flood or who went through fire, you got a fire coming and it destroyed their whole community, their whole neighborhood. You have no choice but to bug out. So in that case, you need to be prepared to do that. And there are things that you can do to help with that. But most preppers are not planning that at all. All right. Every prepper is an alt-right leaning conservative. No, preppers come from diverse backgrounds, and many preppers are patriotic. They support our troops and want to live free of government intervention of everyday life. So, you know, that's very true. Most preppers are patriotic, but you have preppers on both sides of the spectrum. Now, when you go to some websites, they're going to lean one more to one way or the other, so you just know that. Number seven, every prepper is suspicious of everyone else. No, preppers practice OPSEC, a military term that stands for operational security. Preppers believe that they shouldn't advertise how much they have prepared to ensure that their stock of food, water, and other supplies are available for their family and loved ones if there ever is a situation. Listen, guys, this is just smart. Now, let's take it out of preparedness just for a second. Let's talk about money. Do you go advertise how much money you have in your bank account? I mean, come on. It's like, hey, everyone, I've got, you know, $20,000 in my checking account right now. I can go and I got an ATM card and I can go, you know, take out $5,000 just like that. No, you know, you don't go around doing stuff like that. You don't talk about your resources. Hey, I got gold chains. I got, like, you know, so many gold chains worth, blah, 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 blah. You don't talk about that kind of stuff because it draws attention and it might draw the wrong type of attention. It's the same type of thing when we talk about our resources as far as preparedness. We just don't go out there talking about, hey, everybody, I got 2 years worth of food. I got a year's worth of food. I've got this, you know, I got, you know, guns galore. I got, you know, no one's going to do that, you know. And so it's just one of those things that doesn't get talked about. And I can tell you that a lot of people are, you know, really keep this tight, though. I'm more along the lines of I want people to get prepared. And so I talk more about preparedness to people out there. And so they would know that I run Prepper Website and I have a podcast and I write articles and I talk about preparedness on a regular basis. So people know that about me. But at the same time, I don't go disclose everything that I'm about and everything that I have. You know, I don't tell people how much water I have or how much food I have or how much, you know, money I have in the whatever it is, you know. And so it's just smart when to have a little bit of operational security in and around your preparedness. All right. And in and around your life, really, as we go. All right. Moving on. What types of skills should Prepper have or learn? So the most important skills that a Prepper can have is to be able to think for themselves and problem solve. Oh my goodness, yes. Preppers need to be able to be flexible and adapt to any situation that comes their way. Problem solving skills will be invaluable in getting through any difficult situation. Preppers should also learn how to garden. Gardening and producing your own fruits and vegetables is a skill that needs to be cultivated over time. Pun intended. Many people believe they can just put a seed into the ground and it will grow, but preppers know that they need to build their soil and have experience with their local climate and seasons to effectively grow their own food. All right, from the very beginning of my preparedness journey, I've been talking about the importance of gardening, and so I think everybody should understand that. Preppers should know how to start a fire. Fire provides heat, cooks your food, can purify your water if you boil it, can help forge metal tools. A prepper could learn multiple ways to start a fire, from using a lighter to utilizing a ferro rod. The ability to filter and purify water is another skill that preppers should know. Water is needed to survive, but drinking contaminated water can quickly dehydrate and even kill you. Preppers should possess water filters and know how to filter and purify water, even if they don't have a filter available. Self-defense and protection is another skill preppers should learn. This could include concealed carrying a firearm or even learning how to use anything available as a weapon to defend oneself. If a prepper purchases a firearm for self-defense, they are advised to regularly practice and get training. Listen, those are some basic ones. The one probably that I would have included if I was rewriting this today or adding to this would be first aid. You need to have some knowledge of first aid, basic first aid, and it's not hard to get that information. You can, two of my favorite people in the preparedness community, Dr. Bones and Amy Alden, Nurse Amy over at doomandbloom.net. Dr. Joe Alton and Nurse Amy, I mean, they're just legit people, good people, and they are real doctors and nurses, and they talk about, preparedness from that aspect. And so I would highly recommend that you get their books and their information, because I think that's important. But you can also go get, Red Cross first aid trained and CPR trained. It's not expensive, or sometimes it's even free. And you should have that skill. And so I think that's another one that I would have put in here if I was rewriting that. All right, moving on here. How much food do preppers store? All right, so I'll break these down. I'll break some of the things that we just talked about. I'll break it down a little bit. And so I'm going to go pretty quickly here. There's no specific amount of food that preppers store. In fact, having a big amount of food in storage is expensive, and if not managed correctly, will go bad. It is advised that that preppers should build their food pantry slowly. An important thing to remember is that preppers should store food that will be eaten by their families. Although people will eat whatever is in front of them when they are starving, food fatigue is something to consider. If preppers are purposeful and plan accordingly, they can stockpile food that everyone will eat. All right, so now I talk a little bit about possibly how to do this. And I also have a free course on this if you're interested. But preppers should first start out with 2 weeks of meals based on a menu that is created. So I really highly encourage you to create a menu and write down everything you need for that menu at the store. And now you have a list that you can bounce off of. And you could always go and multiply that as many times out. So you can build up your food storage that way. All right. And so you can build up your food storage with canned food. So I'm just going to kind of bounce off of this and talk a little bit about this. I first talk about canned food. And so you should build your food storage with canned food, things that you can buy at the store. And really, that should be a big bulk of it. And you should use the first in, first out. So whatever you buy first, Next time you buy something, you put it behind it and you just kind of rotate it out. And as you eat, you're putting the new stuff behind there. Then you can go for more of a long-term food storage scenario where you are using Mylar bags and oxygen absorbers and food buckets, right? And so you're putting rice and beans and pasta and other things that will have a long shelf life inside of an oxygen-free environment. And we talk about that as well. And then if you have the money to do it and you are wanting to have some of that freeze-dried food or dehydrated food, then you can go that way. I always recommend Legacy Food. That's the one that I have purchased, and that's the one that I believe in, and I wouldn't recommend it if I didn't believe in it. There's a lot of other foods out there that you can try that just don't taste really well. So if you are going to experiment and try different foods, long-term foods, dehydrated, freeze-dried, buy a little sample pack and then try it out before you go spend a whole lot of money on that. All right, it's just my 2 cents there, save you a little bit of money and save you some mean looks from your kids if you have to ever eat that stuff. All right, so we talked about food storage, and now let's talk a little bit about water, because preppers believe in storing water. Without water, you're dead. So your body needs water to survive. From a preparedness standpoint, that is one of the most important things a prepper can do. Without water, your important bodily functions start to shut down within 3 days of normal activity. This can be sooner if you are highly active. So ready.gov recommends that families store 1 gallon of water per person for 3 days. So for example, a family of four should store 12 gallons of water. Now, again, that's family of four for 3 days, that's 12 gallons of water. However, you need to understand that 1 gallon per person is based on just cooking and drinking, and it's not based on hygiene or flushing toilets or anything else like that. And that, again, that is just 3 days worth. Really, you need to have a lot more than that. So preppers use a variety of ways to store water. I would recommend that you go ahead and get some cases of water. I mean, that's the easy entry into water storage there. And then don't put them in the garage, don't put them out in the shed, don't put them, you know, in your car, put them inside your home where it's climate controlled and they will last. Water only goes bad because bacteria that is inside of containers, all right? You got to remember that. Another easy entry into water storage is going to be 2 liter bottles or bottles that hold tea, the nicer plastic jugs and you can always turn them over and you can look at the type of plastic that it is. You know, those that hold like the tea and the soda, and those are going to be stronger plastic bottles. And if you clean them out really, really well with bleach, you would be able to store water inside of those. So the important thing is to get everything out of that, because it's the bacteria inside of those containers that would cause water to be bad a little bit later on. Do not use milk jugs. You cannot use milk jugs to store long-term water. That's just the thing. If you want to go on from there, you got to remember water is very bulky, so you can have a lot of two liter bottle water all over the place, and it's just going to be a lot spread out. So some people like water bricks. They're stackable bricks that you can stack up, and you can put, you know, about 2.5 gallons of water in there. And then from there, some people have 55 gallon drums to be able to store water. And so water storage is important. You need water storage, and you need to have water. That's just, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So here's the thing. Eventually, one day, your water is going to run out. Even if you store a lot of water, it's going to run out. So you need to know what to do after that. And so that's what we're going to talk about here in the next part of this, is filtering and purifying water. So to the knowledge of knowing when water is safe to drink is vital to a prepper. There are many methods to purify and filter water, and every prepper is wise to know a few of them. To filter water means to take out, and this is important, so there's two definitions here. To filter water means to take out the impurities found. This could be impurities that are seen with the naked eye, like dirt, rocks, pieces of wood, or other such items. Filtering water can also mean taking out impurities that are microscopic. There are many processes that can accomplish this. Water purification means to remove microscopic contaminants like parasites, bacteria, algae, and fungi. Water that is not free of these contaminants can cause sickness like diarrhea and dysentery. For water to be considered purified, the process needs to remove 99.9999% of the pathogenic bacteria and reduce viruses by 99.99%. So it is wise to filter and purify water to be safe in a true preparedness or emergency situation. So let's talk a little bit about filtering water. So the easiest way that preppers filter water is by using a purchased water filter. This can be something built into your refrigerator, connected to your kitchen tap. It can consist of a portable system like a HydroBlue jerry can, pressurized jerry can, which is great for camping if you want to have something like that. Or even smaller systems like a Life Straw or a Sawyer Mini water filter. I also like the HydroBlue filter that looks like the Sawyer Mini water filter that you can buy and you can carry with you. Actually, I carry one in my bag all the time, and we'll talk about those in a future video. The water filters can also be made in the field if necessary by stacking layers of rock, sand, and charcoal. At the very least, and there's a link here that you can come and check out these links. At the very least, a crude water filter can be made by passing water through a cotton t-shirt before entering another container. Now listen, that's very crude. And if you're doing that, you're just filtering out visible contaminants there. So the other thing we talked about, purification and purifying water. So preppers will utilize water tablets, bleach, boiling, distillation, and wappies to purify water. So water tablets are self-explanatory. You just read the label, and you can buy those off of Amazon. I have a lot of those, and so you're able to go. You drop a water tablet in there, and you just let it. It does its thing, right? So those are kind of self-explanatory. You read the label. Bleach, though, can be used. You want to have non-scented, non-concentrated. Ready.gov suggests that using bleach at 16 drops. Or 1/8 of a teaspoon for every 1 gallon of water. So that's the ratio there. The water should be stirred and allowed to sit for 30 minutes. The water should have a slight bleach smell. So after 30 minutes, if it doesn't smell like bleach, the process of 16 drops or 1/8 of a teaspoon should be repeated. So it should have that little bleach smell to it. It might not be the best tasting water, but you know it's going to be purified, because definitely in a survival situation or emergency situation, you don't want to go into dysentery or diarrhea. So the next thing that you can do is distillation. Now, when you distill water, you're boiling it off to steam. You're passing it through a tube or coils of some nature to be cooled and deposited in the clean container. So this process leaves the contaminants behind in the first container. It is important to know that everything is left behind with the contaminants, including the good minerals found in water. So I just want to talk really quickly about that. A lot of people talk about distillation, and because of that, the good contaminants, and I put it here in this article, but really, you're not getting a lot of your minerals. You're not counting on water to give you your minerals. In other words, is what I'm trying to say. So don't allow that to keep you from using distillation. Distillation is a really great way of doing that. Of course, there are some, you need some gear, some materials to be able to do that. But that is a great way to purify water. And so don't let that, if you hear that myth about, it's not a myth. It's the truth, I guess. It leaves behind everything, but you're not truly getting all your minerals from water. So that's one thing to remember. So the last thing we're going to talk about is a wappy. And I think these are really great. And it's a little piece of gear that I think everybody should have. I think they're like $5 or $6 on Amazon. So let's finish off this article by talking about that. So another way to purify water is to use a wappy. A wappy stands for water pasteurization indicator. It was found that water doesn't necessarily have to boil to kill off all disease-causing contaminants. Water is pasteurized at 149 degrees Fahrenheit. Wappies contain a special wax that melts at 150 degrees Fahrenheit. Wappies are placed in the center of a water container with the wax end up. When the wax runs down, the water has hit 150 degrees and it is safe to drink. Again, I have a link there if you want to go check out this article, and it'll take you to more information about a wappy and where you can get one and all that kind of stuff. So listen, There's a lot of information that I shared there about preppers. And you can see that it's not the craziness that you normally hear out there about preppers and preparedness. And in fact, I really even hate the word prepper. I really try to use preparedness or emergency preparedness. And that, you know, a lot more people are okay with that terminology. Prepper just tends to send people going in one way of thinking. But a lot of facts there about preppers and a lot of myths and a lot of things, a lot of information just kind of thrown out at you to kind of get you thinking about preppers and how important it is to be prepared. So guys, thanks so much for hanging out with me on this prepper website video. I'm glad that you're here. And don't forget, there's links that you can go and get more information. God bless. Well, everyone, thanks so much for checking out this bonus episode. Hey, don't forget to subscribe to the show. Make sure you click the subscribe button in your favorite podcast app. That way you never miss another episode of Sweet Prepper Goodness. And don't forget, if you're looking for more preparedness and self-reliant information, head on over to prepperwebsite.com, where we have tons of preparedness, self-reliant, alternative news, firearms, DIY, Bible prophecy, frugal living, and homesteading articles just for you. And lastly, don't forget to join the email list if you haven't. When you do, I'm going to send you a free PDF on 25 hand-picked preparedness articles that you should read. Many of these you can't find on the internet any longer. And with that, choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government grid or the grind. Until next time, live with no regrets and stay prepped and aware. Peace.